If you ever look at 2 Samuel, I'm going to share what I normally share. I've shared this message over and over again. It's not because I don't have anything else to share, but I think it's wise to heed what the scriptures tell us. Many times we love to hear a prophetic word, and that's fantastic. The prophetic word does not supersede the word of God. Amen? So I just want to bring your attention to something that has been in my heart for many, many years. And if you heard me preach it before, that's fine. If I don't finish today, I'll finish it next week. All right? Is that okay? And I'm reading from 2 Samuel chapter 12. Then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said to him, "There were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds. The poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb which he had brought up and nourished, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It ate of his own food and drank from his own cup and lay on his bosom, and it was like a daughter to him. A traveler came to the rich man who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one for the wayfaring man who had come to him. And he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who has come to him. David's anger was greatly aroused against the man, and he said to Nathan, 'As the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall surely die, and he shall restore fourfold for the lamb, because he did this thing and because he had no pity.' Nathan said to David, 'You are the man. Thus says the Lord, God of Israel, I anoint you king over Israel. I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your keeping and gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I also would have given you much more.'" Hallelujah. Father, we honor you and bless you, give you glory and honor and praise. You're a good God. In Jesus' name, amen. And we share this. Some of you would have heard it. Some of you will hear it for the first time. David, of all the men in the world, God said, "I found David, the son of Jesse, a man whose heart is the same as mine. A man whose heart is to say, will do what I tell him to do." David was probably the most anointed king of Israel, God's chosen king. In fact, even if you go to Israel today, they talk about this man as an icon in the nation. You go through the walls of Jerusalem, and there is a lady there playing a harp by the statue of King David. And everybody talks about him as the benchmark of how to live for God. The young man that went from the cow paddocks and the sheep paddocks to be the king of Israel and anointed three times. Anointed by Samuel, anointed by the tribe of Judah, and anointed by the whole nation of Israel. Amazing man. A man who was a king and a prophet and a priest. Which you are. We are a nation of kings. We are priests and kings unto God. We are a prophetic community. David was a prophet. David was a king. David was a priest. Other kings wanted to be priests, and they lost their office. Other priests wanted to be prophets. Didn't go. David was a prophet, priest, and king. David understood what it was to be at the peak of spirituality. He said, "If I go to heaven," because it's been there, "if I go to heaven, you're there." But then he says something terrible. He said, "But if I go to hell." So the question is, Why did David fall? What happened to David, the son of Jesse, a man after God's own heart? And if we can learn from why he fell, then we can learn something great so that we can be protected from the onslaughts of the enemy. To quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. And here, Nathan, the prophet, comes and tells this beautiful parable about two men, one poor and one rich. One has plenty of flocks, the other one only has one little ewe lamb. And he says, he brought up the lamb with his children. The lamb will sit on his chest. He will drink from his cup. And the lamb will eat from his own plate. And when a wayfaring traveler came to the rich man, instead of taking from his bounty, he robbed this man's lamb and killed it. And obviously, you would be angry if you hear the same story. But it was very, very wisely woven and trapped the king. And the king said, that's not good. The man who's done this will surely die and he'll pay back fourfold. And Nathan said, you're the fella. You took the wife of Uriah the Hittite. So what precipitated David's fall? Are you okay? So if you go back to chapter 11 of 2 Samuel, it says this. It happened in the spring of the year, exactly the time we're in. It happened in the King James, it said, it happened when the year, after the year has expired, and the year is expiring. And then it says, at the time when kings go out to war, it's a time when kings, if you're a king, it's a time when kings go to war. And then he says this, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. They destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David remained at Jerusalem. Are you okay? It's a time when kings go to war. Now, why did they just go to war at that time? They obviously could go to war any other time, but it's a particular time when the kings actually go to war. They war because of the weather. Why do people go on holiday and it's the weather? They're breaking up for the year and they go for find a nice place because of the weather. Now, what's the weather got to do with war? In the winter months, you can't drive the chariots through the mud. It's cold. But in the springtime, in the time when things are okay, it's lovely to be able to marshal the troops and walk out into war. Why do they go to war? Firstly, to extend their territory. The King of England came to send people to New Zealand. Why? They want to extend their territory. And what the king said in England happened in New Zealand. Are you okay? So kings go to war to extend their territory. They want to enlarge their territory. You know what you pray? Hello? You pray for your territory. You want to enlarge the borders of your influence. If you read and pray the prayer of Jabez, he said, God, would you enlarge my territory that I will not cause pain, that I will not be begging? Would you enlarge my territory? And the reason you go to war is to enlarge your territory. Maybe not physically, but you have to enlarge the capacity for God in your life. Hallelujah. But that's not the time we go to war. That's the time we go for a holiday. Am I against holiday? Go for one. But go with your eyes open. I see the stars. I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout. Then sings my soul. See, hear, sing. That's why I got you to sing that song. And I tell young people that sometimes part of the reason why you go to war is to extend your territory. The other is to protect your harvest. When the Midianites came, they came at exactly the same time. And they came to take the harvest of Israel. And here is this young man, Gideon, and he's threshing wheat where they press the wine. Well, he's afraid of the marauding army, and they come to take your harvest. You have been in a harvest all this year. And you have stored grain and wheat in your heart. If you're not careful, the devil will fight you and will take what is your harvest and give it to his army. So they come to fight to get food, but the kings also go out to protect the harvest, protect the borders, extend their borders, and protect the harvest of the nation. And you have harvested this year. You could lose it if you're not careful. Why? Because the enemy is out to get your harvest. Are you all right? Now the Bible says, a thief cometh not but for to steal. What's he stealing? Well, if you read the Bible, the parables of the sower, he comes to steal the word that is sown in your heart. And statistically, more Christians backslide at Christmas time than any other time of the year. And yes, yet it is a celebration of the coming of their king. Why did the king come? I'm going to say something that is not even biblical. But have you ever wondered why they put the coming of the king at the harvest time? I mean, we don't know. He may have been born in April. And yet we celebrate his coming at exactly the same time. Why? The king is coming. I heard the trumpet sound, and now his face I see. Hallelujah. His face I see. Hello? I wonder if the men and women of old that set the calendar realized that it's a time when kings go to war, that we celebrate the birth of the greatest king at a time when kings go to war. Now I'm speculating, all right? So, the Bible says, it's a time for kings to go to war, and this king did not go. If the kings of the heathens are going to war, what's God's king doing staying at home? Are you all right? So the thief comes not but for to steal. Comes to steal your harvest. Steal what God has put in your heart. You know, the Bible talks about the lust of other things entering in. The deceitfulness of riches. Persecution. Those things come to take the seed that's sown in your heart. Have you ever noticed that we spend more at Christmas time, and we should spend at Christmas time to give to others. But many times we spend what we don't have. And you actually got robbed at the end of the year, and you come next month and said, where's all my money? You didn't even know that you were robbed because the enemy comes in to steal. I'm not saying that you don't buy gifts for people. You should. God gave the greatest gift. But don't spend what you don't have. The river is for others. The well is for you. Don't spend your river and spend your well. Do you understand what I just said? He said, he shall be in you a well and out of you a river. He that believes in me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. The rivers are for others. The well that is the source of the river is for you. Many people give their river and give their well. And most often happens at Christmas time. I don't know if bless you, but bless me. Hallelujah. Now let's have a look at something I've shared on the same text, but I haven't shared what I just shared with you. All right? Maybe I'll share what I shared with you next Sunday, but I'll just share something about the thief. Does a thief announce it's come? No. But Jesus said, there are two people coming. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. So the thief is actually coming. Who said that? The king said the thief is coming. Jesus said the thief is coming. And he's coming. Sometimes he's arrived at your house and you entertain him without you knowing, because he never announced, I'm here. How many of you raise kids? Well, how many of you know that at home they were fantastic angels until they went to school? I'm asking a question. What happened at school? They got companionship with people that don't have their values, they don't believe like them, and they were influenced, and when they came back from school, they brought somebody else, and he now is in your house without you knowing, and he said, what's wrong with my kid? The thief has just come in. You sit up in the middle of the night and watch movies you shouldn't see? What happened? The thief has just come in. You open the door, and because thieves are deal undercover, they come in like stealth bombers, and you did not even know they arrived. And now you have a fight with the children. Why? Because they mixed with people with different values. Have you ever wondered why God said, don't marry an unbeliever, don't marry a non-Christian? Because they are from two kings. They come from two kingdoms. And you may think, this is fantastic. No, you're stupid. If he's not saved, leave him alone. I don't care if he looks like the best actor you've seen in Hollywood. He's just disguised himself. And he'll be hell on earth after you make a commitment. Some Christian kids today don't even make a commitment. They just give their bodies to somebody. What happened? You went to sleep when the other king went to war. So I tell young people, now this is not a criticism of young people, please. The problem is many young people today think that their mate is the best. Your parents, the reason you're there is because of your parents. You may not have the best parents in the world, but you're here because of your parents. Honor your mom and dad. It shall be not well. It'll be well if you honor your mom and dad. If you belong to a single father or a single mom, honor them. It'll be well with you. So I tell young people, girls, don't listen to him. If he's not saved, he doesn't carry your values. If he doesn't honor you, don't listen to the dude. Why? Because primarily, ladies, things get into your heart by what you hear. The devil went to Eden to speak to a woman. Why didn't he speak to Adam? He spoke to the lady. Why? It's how things happen in a woman's life. Primarily, they are ear-minded. So I tell young people all over the world where I speak to young people, Don't listen to the guy if he's not saved. If he doesn't have your values, if he doesn't love Jesus, don't listen to him, because his words will seduce you like Eve was seduced in the garden. What about men? Men are high-minded. I seen a woman in Timnath. Get her for me. He's not even talked to the lady. He's just seen the lady and said, I want her for me. And his father said, is there not a Christian girl that you can marry? No, I like that one. It didn't work for Samson. It'll not work for you. So why did we sing, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder? You need to see God, see his goodness, see his favor, and hear the mighty works of God. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, and then my soul sings. My Savior, God to thee, how great thou art. How great thou art. Men see, women hear. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder. Why did God did not say to Abraham, can you hear me? No, he said, get out, look up. Why? Because Abraham was a man. Look up, what you see, stars. Look over there, what you see, sand. Your children, physical, spiritual. They'll cover the earth. So sometimes the enemy actually turns up. You have no idea it's there. Why? He comes as a sheep, but he's a wolf. He comes in. You entertain him. Here, you want a cup of coffee? Hey, very good. You have no idea he's a wolf. But he comes in disguise. Why? He comes like a stealth bomber. That's why the Bible says you have to learn how to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. Because sometimes that fiery dart, you don't even see it coming, even though it's fiery. You know what the Bible says? A dart can strike your liver. Read the book of Proverbs, talking about men and women relationship. You do it with the wrong person, he said, a dart will strike your liver. What happened to your shield? You're supposed to let the shield quench that dart, and yet the dart comes in. Why? Because the thief comes disguised. And if you're not careful at this time of the year, the things that God had deposited in your heart are going to be unraveled, and you come back next year and say, oh Lord, and then you try to regather your harvest. Are you all right? And you don't know that he's got a different motive. We said our greatest enemy, the Bible declares our greatest enemy is not the devil. Our greatest enemy is our ignorance. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Don't be ignorant of the devil's devices. And if you're ignorant of the devil's plans and devices, why? Because you as a king are going out for a holiday and there's a king coming to war. So when you go for a holiday, have a good holiday. But don't take away the armor of God. There was one lady, a lady preacher, she said, I saw something really, she said, it was really odd. She saw a vision, and the vision was a lady getting married, but she was wearing combat boots. He said, well, that's funny. it ruined the wedding garments. And she said, I realize that we are the bride of Christ, but we're also the army of the Lord. Now, when the enemy comes, it's all right when he roars like a roaring lion. You know that the lion is there. But when he comes as a sheep and he's a wolf, that's a totally different picture. Now it's more difficult to discern who he is. But there's something worse. He can come as an angel of light. Now that's even bad. But we are not ignorant of his devices if we know that he's coming to give us life. The king is coming. He said, there are two people coming. One's coming to steal, but I'm coming too. So don't concentrate on the thief. Be aware, be alert, but somebody else is coming, and he's coming to give you life and life more abundantly. The worst thing you can do, and I've seen Christians do this, they backslide, they hate God, they misdiscern the two. They think the king that comes to give them life is actually their enemy. I hate the church. Well, the church will always be the church. It's not whole. If you find a perfect church, join it and make it imperfect. The church is not perfect. Don't ever get the idea that you're going into something perfect. But one thing is for sure, Jesus loves the church. And many people have been hurt by the church and blame Jesus for the church. God has always had more problem with the church than the world. You don't believe that? God had more problems with Jonah than Nineveh. When Jonah got it, Nineveh got saved from the king to the cat. I don't know if cats get saved. I think, But sometimes we discern and we think the one that comes to give you life is the problem. He's not the problem. And then we run away thinking that, well, I want my freedom. You're not actually free. You're just a runaway slave. You're still a slave. You're just running away. Are you all right? Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So what's happening in our world today? Is he coming very quietly? I just watched a little clip of two women that got married in Australia, and they gave them permission to do that 1 month before the thing actually happened. Your great-great-grandparents would have crawled in their grave hearing that stuff. What happened? The thief came in stealth. And now we accept it. Now we are robbed blind of our values because we've allowed the thief in. Are you okay? The thief comes in, whether it comes through companionship or comes through friendship that are not good, and they redefine our values. Now the whole world's values are redefined. Are you all right? So they're doing something in Australia now, in a particular state in Australia, where you Christmas, you can't mention Jesus and all those other things. You don't do that anymore. Why? Your values are being redefined. Why? Because a thief comes in and he comes to steal. Then he comes to kill. And then he will totally destroy. Now, the Bible said something that is weird. Have you ever noticed there's a lot of weird things in the Bible until God explains it to you? Hallelujah. And some of those things sometimes don't seem to make sense until God says, and then God begins to bring revelation and gives us understanding of what goes on. We today behead people and they show it graphically on the scene, and then people watch it, including Christians. What's that happening? What's that doing? It nullifies our sense of right and wrong. And we think it becomes a normality when it's not. Now, the Bible says this. Moses said, our years are 70. So numerically, he said, this is your years. If you grow older than 70, that's fine, but you know, the body is frail, and you know, but believe God for 70 years. I'm believing God for 92. But then he said this, Lord, teach us to number our days. I thought he just gave God the numerics. But then he said, teach us to number our days. How can you number your days when he's already said 70 years? That's odd, eh? Isn't that odd? He's already told God 70 years, and then he says, help me to number my days. You just numbered your own days, 70 years. What does that mean? God is the only one can teach you the seasons of your life. And there are seasons in everyone's life. And you need to know what season you're in, not only in your life, but in your year. The Bible says it was a season that David fell. It was a season when kings go to war. And when he did not go to war, he fell. This season, have you ever noticed that we call this the Christmas what? Season. And we need to know which season you're at in particular years. You know, I could never understand why in the Jewish calendar they've got a Jewish New Year, and then the Chinese calendar they've got a Chinese New Year. I said, New Year, the New Year is it. But that's from my perspective. To their perspective, it's a different season altogether. So what season are you in? Second question, what season of the year are you in? It came to pass when the year has expired, the time when kings go to war, that David did not when he was the king. So you are in that same season today. My word to you and to me, be aware of the season. We are supposed to be triumphant in God. Never get fearful. God is with us. Hallelujah. And God can fight your battles, because the battle is not yours. It belongs to the Lord. But you need to know what season you're in. Hallelujah.